Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from Romans this morning is rather quite challenging. Paul writes to encourage God's people to live in their calling, but his words, they can really overwhelm us. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast
what is good, love one another, be fervent in spirit, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer.
Sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, maybe not so much. And this is only a small portion of what he's told us so far in just the first three verses. His list goes on and on and on. And in fact, it includes 30 little sayings or commands given to encourage us. Listening to his words, though, it's easy to feel exhausted. It's easy to feel unworthy. It's easy to wonder if the Holy Spirit could ever form all these desires of God within us. His list is overwhelming, and it leaves us wondering, where do we start? What do I pay attention to? What's a Christian to do with all of these words? Let's say you were to take one exhortation a day and really work on that one. So for Monday, you take the first one, let love be genuine. And for the whole day, you try to go throughout demonstrating what that is like and how to do it. Passing by someone at work or the grocery store, you say, how are you doing? But only this time to actually stop and listen and then to respond appropriately. For this day, love becomes more than just a casual greeting. And then for Tuesday, you do abhor what is evil and so on and so on. If you were to do this, spending one day for each exhortation, it would take you almost a month to get through the list. And that would be only doing each thing once. Paul's list is overwhelming for the Christian. This morning, we'll focus on just two of the overarching themes of this section. And they are showing a self-sacrificial love and overcoming evil with good. The first theme is shown predominantly in the first paragraph in our bulletin, verses 9 to 13, while the second, overcoming evil with good, is shown in the second paragraph, verses 14 to 21. And as we look at these, we'll see how they point us to Christ as well. Paul describes to us a self-sacrificial love in the first five verses. He encourages us to have it with these sayings. What is a self-sacrificial love? Let's see what he says. First of all, he describes it as a genuine love. It's a love that cares for others and for their needs. It does not focus on us, nor does it demand anything in return. Simply put, it puts others first. He also says it's a love that abhors what is evil. It despises and repulses at evil acts and deeds done. It does not seek out revenge or the hurt and harm of another person. He also says this love shows a brotherly love to others as well. A brotherly love sees all people alike and is on the same level. It does not have favorites. This kind of love transcends our immediate family ties and does not depend on natural or ethnic or racial bonds. In fact, it doesn't even look at them or consider them. Isn't that the kind of love that our world needs and is truly longing for? And this love, according to the apostle, shows honor and respect too. It doesn't wait to be honored, but instead it makes the first step in showing honor. It considers others better and more important than oneself. In fact, he says, outdo one another. It's almost like he's encouraging us to do it as a game. Who can show the most honor to others? And he writes that it obviously includes a love for God that comes from the Holy Spirit. This love leads one to serving him with the gifts and talents that one has been given. And lastly, he describes it as a love that looks out for the needs of others and one that shows hospitality. This love looks for opportunities to serve, and it goes out of its way to do so. Over the last week, we've seen a lot of examples of this in Texas, and this is just one story of many. Abe Miner is a man nicknamed the Houston Heroes for some of the feats that he's done this week. And he's been rescuing people all week. It started when his wife sent him to get his nephew's boat to go rescue her friend's family. And this family consisted of a mom, dad, and four kids, one of which was an infant. And as he was going to rescue this family, he was wading through knee-deep water, waist-deep water, chest-deep water, neck-deep water. And as he was going there, people were calling out for his help and assistance. And he would tell them, "I'll be back. I just need to rescue them first." And once he rescued that family, he kept his word. And he returned to help others who were seeking him out. And once he was done, he actually would go out and find new people that he could rescue and serve. This kind of love looks for opportunities to express itself, just like this. But having a self-sacrificial love can really be a challenge, though, and these challenges can stem from a variety of things. In our lives, in our world, we're often told to focus on ourselves, right? First and foremost. And we hear it with outrageous sayings like this: "You need to learn how to love yourself first before you can learn how to love others," or "Love yourself, then love others." I actually heard these two sayings this week. This ordering of love focuses on ourselves, and it's internally turned and focused. Who knows if this focus will ever extend out to others when it begins and looks at ourselves. But even complicating this can be our definition and understanding of love. In our country, as Americans, we tend to understand love more as an emotion or as a feeling, rather than just an action. And once that emotion wears out, so can our love for other people. We can really struggle to show love once that feeling runs out. And we hear it with phrases like this: "I just don't feel the love for them anymore. It's like it's all dried up." We don't often see love as an action like Scripture does, and like Paul. But even going with this can be our nature of love. I hate to say it, but sometimes our love can be pretty conditional based. It can be based on what we can get on in return. It's always easier to love those who are nice and who serve us than it is to those who don't. But probably the hardest thing, though, is a self-sacrificial love can produce fears and concerns. One of the scariest things about love is that it can go unnoticed, unappreciated. It can be misused, and worst of all, it can even be rejected. People can say, "I don't want it." Consider this story. A pastor went to the hospital to visit Maggie, one of his members. She was in the last stages of her life because of cancer, and she was heavily medicated and unresponsive. The pastor went to support her family, who was taking it pretty hard, and understandably so. And as he got there, he saw Maggie's daughter, Kimmy, doing a rather strange thing. She was taking the sheets off of her mother and setting them aside. And she opened up an expensive lotion whose fragrance really filled the room with a wonderful smell. And she began applying it to her mother, starting at her feet. As the pastor walked in, she gave him a mischievous smile and said, "Now promise me you won't tell my children what I'm doing." For you see, her kids gave her this lotion for Mother's Day because, in their words, "Mom, you never do anything for yourself." As Kimmy put it on her mom, she was unresponsive. She would have never known what had happened, nor would anyone ever have known what had gone on. But this is the nature of a self-sacrificial love. This is what love does. So what if these acts go unappreciated or unnoticed? So what if no one ever knows what goes on or what we do? God sees them. He knows these acts. They're not unnoticed, but He considers these deeds precious and valuable in his sight, acts like these care for others, and it puts them and their needs first. These acts show the love and mercy of Jesus, and they're motivated by them. They also point others to him as well. Excuse me. As Paul talks about a self-sacrificial love, we really cannot help but be pointed to Christ's self-sacrificial love for us. Jesus said, "No greater love than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Jesus loved us so much that he willingly gave up his life for us so that we could have his. He put our need for grace and salvation first, before his own, and endured beatings and suffering and death and shame for us. He did what it took to save us. We only love because he first loved us. This love that Paul talks about is formed and created in us through the Holy Spirit. When we share this love with others, it can point them to the greatest love ever shown to them through Christ's death and resurrection. And after encouraging us to have a self-sacrificial love, the apostle moves on to something much harder. He moves on to encourage us to overcome evil with good. But like earlier, this can have its challenges as well. When we are wronged or hurt, we can really carry some wounds with us. We can endure a heavy heartache, a deep distress, a piercing pain. We can be scarred mentally, emotionally, maybe physically because of the wrongs that people have done to us. When people wrong or hurt us, isn't our natural response to want to hurt them back or to repay what they've done? It almost seems kind of hardwired into our sinful nature. When we get hurt, we can want others to feel the same hurt and pain and suffering. We want to return their evil with evil, but Paul encourages us not to do so. He encourages us to rather repay those deeds with goodness and mercy. He encourages us to wait for God to act and for him to give vengeance. He writes, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." The vengeance space is not an area that we're to set up shop in and to do business. We leave this in God's hands, no matter how long we may have to wait. And what do we do when we encounter and endure evil? Well, we overcome it with good, as Paul says. In this section, he encourages us to show goodness and mercy by praying for, blessing, feeding, clothing, giving a drink, and providing for those who have wronged us. It can seem humanly the opposite or wrong thing to do, but it has a purpose. These acts might drive people to faith and repentance. The mercy we show them might lead them to the greater mercy that's shown and found in Jesus. It can even remind us of the mercy that God shows us. And David is a great example of this. King Saul tried to kill him many times, and we've been covering that in our Bible study for about the last month now. When Saul would be in David's hands, David would refrain from showing him harm or hatred. Instead, he would spare Saul. He showed respect for his office as king, and that led him to showing the mercy that Saul honestly didn't deserve. Sometimes this led Saul to seeing the error of his ways. Other times he didn't. And David waited for God to avenge him, even though that would take years. David overcame evil with good. But this is exactly what our God does. It's a page right out of God's book. For our God overcomes evil with good. And this is depicted so well on the front cover of our bulletin this morning. On the cross, where Jesus was nailed and his blood poured out, God overcame many things. He overcame our sin, the violations and wrongs done to him through his son's death and perfect life. He repays our sin through faith in Christ with mercy and forgiveness, not with wrath and condemnation. He overcomes death, ironically, through the death of his Son. And he defeats the devil through what he thought to be his greatest hour, the killing of God's Son. But it turned out to be his greatest defeat and humiliation as Jesus rose again 3 days later. Our Lord's victory will be fully realized and experienced at the last day. All these things will be finally overcome, and there will be no sickness, pain, or sadness. Our God overcomes evil with good. He overcomes it through our Lord's death and resurrection. And whilst Paul's list this morning can be overwhelming for us, they point us to Christ's overwhelming grace and mercy for us. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who shows us his love and grace. Amen.